Think about that last phrase for just a moment. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. No matter where we go, what we do in this life, if we get through this life and into heaven, it will be not because of what we did, not because we were geniuses or brilliant with the Word or led thousands to Christ. It'll be because we let Christ lead us. And when it's all over and we're sitting in heaven singing praises to God, I'm convinced that's one of the things that we will be praising, that Jesus let us follow Him to heaven. What a wonderful thought. I want to talk this morning about our need to speak the truth. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren there, and we've looked at this passage in a number of different topics as we've looked over last year. We used this passage as the jumping off point for many of our discussions regarding the organization and work of the church. And we need to keep in mind that certainly that's what Paul is talking about here, our unity as we work together. And the point that he's making with this passage is how we work together to strengthen and encourage one another. And ultimately that is to be our goal, certainly. But the principles and things that he teaches here and that we find elsewhere in Scripture also have effect on our going out and reaching those outside the body of Christ. And never in our history have we had more opportunities to talk to more different people than we have right now. We've been studying the letters from the Apostle Paul, and in doing so talked about the various journeys that he took and that where he traveled. And he went from Jerusalem all the way over to the city of Rome ultimately. And we're told from secular history that he even made it into Spain possibly. And certainly in making those journeys, he met a varied number and kind of people. And we find that many times as Paul was speaking the truth in those cities, that he found opposition to his speech. And we need to recognize that we're going to have the same today. In fact, the more varied the backgrounds are between the speaker and the listener, the more likely there's going to be some backlash. And we need to be careful of that. We have a responsibility to speak the truth, but we need to be careful how we speak it. And really, more than talking about our need to speak the truth, that's what we want to talk about this morning, because we want to consider that we have a responsibility to speak the truth, to stand up against error, to fight against those that would destroy the unity of the church and would hinder others from knowing the gospel. But there are some things we need to keep in mind as we do that. I'm as susceptible as anyone to getting caught up in a good discussion. And I use that term because it's a polite term for some of the back and forth that I have been in the past, and I have seen others associated, men of God, preachers, elders, just anybody and everybody. And it doesn't really matter what topic you're talking about, but two topics bring out the worst in us: religion and politics. And we need to be careful how we go about speaking the truth, because when we consider the fact that we are given the responsibility to go out and speak the truth and to preach the Word of God and fight against error, we also need to recognize that we're told to be careful of ourselves first. We need to examine ourselves. And I guess there's not many places that express that to us as evidently as the book of Luke chapter 6. When we begin reading in verse 39 of Luke chapter 6, Jesus spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Now, normally when we read about that speck in the log, we read just those verses there, but we need to understand this is part of a greater parable that Jesus teaches that begins there in verse 39, and the thought continues all the way through the things there in verse 45. We cannot speak the truth if we're not living the truth. We've heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. And certainly we can attest to the fact that that is true. We can see that from examples that have gone before us for many years. Many of us have a number of examples probably that we could refer to of someone who said one thing, but they did something different. And we learn from their actions more than from their words. And an illustration I've used in the past, and it's a simple illustration that works very well, so you may hear it again sometime. And my dad taught me how to use a pocket knife and how to whittle. One of the things he always told me is don't pull the knife towards you. But more often than not, while he was telling me that, he was whittling on a stick and he had his pocket knife and he was trying to get just a little bit off and he was pulling that knife blade right toward his thumb. And there was a time you could find all kind of little nicks and scratches in my thumb because I learned from what he did, not from what he said. We need to be careful of the kind of person that we are before we go about trying to tell other people how to live. We need to speak the truth, yes. But we need to consider ourselves first. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Do you not realize or recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. We need to test ourselves and ensure that we're living the life that we're trying to get someone else to live. No matter what topic it may be that we're discussing with someone, if we're living differently than what we're saying, our voice is wasted. We're not going to do any good. We need to be careful of our own selves, that we're not engaging in what might be referred to as hypocrisy, because we say one thing and do another. We also need to be wary of self-righteousness. And here we go to Luke chapter 18. And read beginning in verse 9. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Another parable Jesus said to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to be careful of self-righteousness, of thinking ourselves better than others because we have the truth. How many times have we heard somebody's response when we mention that we go to the Church of Christ? Oh, that's that group that thinks they're the only ones that are going to be saved. Or we go to talk to somebody about the saving power of the gospel. Oh, you're one of those that think you're the only ones going to be in heaven. We need to be careful of the attitude we present when we talk to others about the gospel. Not an attitude of I'm better than you are. I know more about the Bible, therefore I'm more righteous than you are. I attend services every time the doors open, therefore I must be more of a Christian than you are. Not necessarily so. We need to develop the attitude of humility. We talked about this in our Bible class this morning. Paul exercised that attitude of humility as he went about preaching the gospel. He didn't exercise all the rights that he had as an apostle because it wasn't necessary. In fact, it could have been detrimental to reaching those he was trying to convince of the truth of Christ. We need to be careful how we present ourselves. We also need to recognize that we may be wrong. We read in Acts chapter 18 of a fellow named Apollos, beginning in verse 24, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, certainly, when we look at the complete story here about Apollos, we recognize that he was willing to accept the fact he wasn't as knowledgeable as he thought he was. And he made the adjustment and the changes that were necessary, and he went on to be of great benefit to the cause of Christ. Not because he was mighty in the Scriptures, but because he recognized he was wrong when it was pointed out to him. He was mighty in the Scriptures while he was still wrong. We need to be careful and make certain that we are right. That's one of the reasons why, time and time again, when we talk about this idea of presenting the gospel, I emphasize we need to present the gospel, the Word of God. Not what I think or what I believe, but what does the text say? That's why when I get up to preach, there are so many scriptures involved in the proclaiming of whatever message I'm trying to get across, because I want you to see what God's Word says about that. I've gone through and come to an understanding, and I recognize, and I'm fairly certain that what I have read and understood is correct. But I'm also aware that I can be wrong. I have been once or twice in the last day or two. We won't count all the other times. We need to recognize that we could be wrong. And so we need to give attention to the things that we speak, and we need to make sure that we're presenting the Word of God, not our opinion or our thoughts. We also need to make sure that we're not just speaking to others so we can hear ourselves speak. Proverbs 18 and verse 2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." That's from the English Standard Version. It just kind of put it out there very plainly. A fool's not interested in learning. He's only interested in getting his point across. His only purpose is to hear himself talk, to let other people hear him talk. And while I'm confident all of us have known people of that way, and some of you may think I'm that way sometimes, I don't know. But we need to be careful that's not our reason for talking. And that goes whether our talking is done with our vocal cords or with our keyboards. Let's make sure we're not presenting things just to be presenting things. Talking just to be talking. Our purpose needs to be to spread the Word of God. And first, we need to look at ourselves. We need to make sure we're right. We need to do our best to cleanse ourselves of all hopes of grandeur and fame. And certainly to ensure that what we are engaging in our own lives is the truth of the gospel, and that we've done everything within our power to ensure that what we're teaching is the truth of the gospel. And when we find out that something we've been doing is wrong, we need to be like Apollos and be willing to make the changes necessary to set ourselves right with God. Otherwise, we are of no use to the Lord or to the church. And these things apply whether we're talking about speaking amongst ourselves as brethren or we're talking about presenting the gospel to the world at large. We need to first look at self. Understand our reasons for and our teaching, and make sure that our life matches those things that we're presenting. But also, along this line of not needing to speak just to hear ourselves talk or glorify ourselves, we need to recognize that what we're doing when we preach the gospel is glorifying God. We're glorifying God. Every time we go about to speak the truth, it ought to be for the purpose of glorifying God. I don't have that scripture up here, but remember in Matthew chapter 6, there in the midst of kind of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, I guess, Jesus tells us that we're to shine not so we can get praise, but so the people that see our good works glorify God. Paul didn't go about preaching the gospel so that people would think he was a great guy. He wanted them to glorify God. He makes that point there in the Thessalonian letter. He makes that point in the Colossian letter, in the Corinthian letters, and throughout all his teachings. His point was to glorify God. And that needs to be our purpose. I've seen many discussions going on online. I've been involved in discussions. I've watched debates, read debates, and there were all too many of them that their point was to gain fame for self rather than glorify God. Our purpose needs to be to glorify God, because that's what we're all about, not ourselves. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplied, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. No matter what we're doing, it needs to be to glorify God. So we don't get into discussions online so that people can notice how many discussions we've been in online and can go and read from our words and take them and use them as accolades to live by. We get involved in study online so we can promote the Word of God, so we can glorify Him. Well, if we're glorifying God, we're going to have to humiliate ourselves. Well, maybe not humiliate. We're going to have to be humble. We're going to have to exercise humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, you younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. When you're invited to feast, go sit in the lowly place. If you're to be exalted, they will move you to the exalted place. When you're presenting the Word of God, present it with humility. Not as your own Word, but as it is the Word of God. Time and time again, the Apostle Paul used phrases such as that. I didn't present it as my own, but presented to you as it was the Word of God. It's not mine. It's God's. I need to present myself with humility, with a recognition that I am just a simple servant of God. This message is not mine. Jesus did the same thing. He came out and said, it's not my will. I'm not telling you my instructions. They're the instructions of the Father who sent me. If there ever was anyone who could stand up before men and say, you do my word because it's my word, Jesus could do that. He was God. Is God. I don't know, I hesitate to use the word was when I talk about Him, because He still is God. Yet He didn't. His purpose was to deliver the Word of the Father. Same thing for us. We deliver the Word of the Father as Jesus delivered it to us through the Holy Spirit. It's not ours. We can't. See, God, Jesus, Spirit, us, apostles, us, we're about fourth or fifth hand on this information. We're way down the totem pole. We need to present it with humility. Not, I know it all. There's that self-righteous coming back again if we're not careful. But here's what God's Word says. And we need to be gentle and respectful in regards to that as well. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. Take note of the context in which Peter makes these statements as well. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. We hear that, be ready to give a defense. And we hear the word defense. And defend. And we think we got to really get built up and ready. We got to be a massive wall. We've got to really be something and present a formidable force. That's not what Peter says. He says, be ready to defend what you believe, to stand up for it with gentleness and reverence. We're not on the defensive side of the football line. Anybody that thinks those guys defend with gentleness and reverence haven't watched football lately. And note, Peter says, do this when you are slandered. Do this when you are suffering for the sake of righteousness. This isn't just standing up and saying, I believe in God. This is somebody coming along and slapping you down because you believe in God, and then you come back with a gentle and reverent answer for what you believe. And the more I think about what Peter's saying and the situation he's describing there, the more I see the example of Christ, and Peter himself points out that example in the context here. When he was beaten, the crown of thorns put on his head, and then they slapped his head. They took the whip with the little bits of metal and glass and such in it, and bone, and they beat him. Before they put him on the cross, how did he answer back? When Peter and the apostles in the early chapters of the book of Acts were rebuked by the Sanhedrin council and told, do not preach in his name again, how did they answer back? There wasn't a railing rebuke placed upon the Sanhedrin council. They didn't get up a whole bunch of people and go stand around the council building and protest. They just went back to the brethren, prayed to God, thank you that we can suffer for your name, and then went back in the tabernacle and started preaching. The response they gave to the Sanhedrin council is, we ought to obey God rather than men. About the strongest rebuke action that we see is the preaching of Stephen in front of the council. He's stiff-necked and uncircumcised. He always resists. We need to respond with gentleness and reverence. Careful of how we're living our own life, yes, but respectful of those that we're speaking to, no matter who they may be. And we need to be patient and kind. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 25, and 26. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, But be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Now, I know the first response, that's elders that are supposed to do that. Well, my first question to you is, are you a bondservant of the Lord? I hope so. Yes, these instructions are in the context of elders, leaders in the church. And they're written to the young preacher Timothy, yes. But remember, Paul wrote to Timothy so Timothy could tell the church how to conduct themselves. The instruction falls upon each one of us. We need to approach others with patience and kindness, even those who are in error. Patient when wrong. Gentleness or kindness correcting those that are in error. Because it's not about me. It's about God. In fact, I had some hesitancy about these last two, whether I put them under examine self or glorify God, or the next one we're going to talk about in just a moment. But as I try to consider how to position these things to get the points across, it kept coming back to mind. This is all about reminding us that we're glorifying God. So I don't get my ire up. I don't get myself all worked up about these things. I'm just speaking for God. And so I use God's words. And I use God's methods. And constantly reminding myself of the example that Jesus left for us, and how he dealt with the false teaching of the Sanhedrin court, the Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees, all those that came to him. How did Jesus deal with them? It is written. It is written. Here's what God said. God's word says this. Learn from this story what God wants you to do. We need to be at peace. Romans 14 and verse 19. So when we pursue things that make for peace and the building up of one another, we're not trying to destroy people. We're trying to help people find peace. Avoid quarreling. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. How many times have we come in or gotten ourselves in a situation where we're listening to a discussion or reading a discussion from folks, and it turns out all they're doing is fighting with each other over how they want to define one particular word or how they want to use a word? Or all they're doing is fighting because they like to fight. We're to avoid quarreling. Stay away from that. Why? Because we want to present God. We want God to be glorified by the things we say, by the way we react to the things that others say. Whatever we do, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, what ultimately is to be our goal is that God is praised and glorified. And calling people names and putting them in groups and referring back to things that are over and done with and been taken care of, those things are not going to glorify God. Walking all over people by not allowing them to express their thoughts and their ideas along with ours is not going to glorify God. It may raise me in the estimation of some people. Oh, we really gave him one. But, you know, really, I don't need that kind of I don't need that kind of praise and honor anyway. We're all about glorifying God. So we're careful of our attitude. We're humble, respectful, gentle and kind, seeking peace, not discord. And we need to consider the listener. We need to be considerate of those with whom we're discussing. Speak the truth, but keep in mind who it is you're talking to. And that means first we need to listen. Notice what James says in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. How many times, those of you who were here for our Wednesday night Bible class when we studied the book of Proverbs, how many times did Solomon say, well, he had better words for it, but how often did Solomon say, shut up and listen? Or think about what's being said before you respond. In fact, he equated those two things with wisdom. In fact, I believe there's a couple of Proverbs that make the point that it's a whole lot easier to tell a fellow's a fool when he opens his mouth than it is when he keeps it shut. You're looking for those words in the concordance to find them in Proverbs. They're probably not there. That's a strong paraphrase. But the point is, we need to listen. We can't answer an argument if we don't know what the argument wants. I got in more trouble by preparing my answers for Dad while he was talking than I got into to get talked to begin with. Because I wouldn't listen to what he said. I was too busy getting figured out what I wanted to say next. Along this line, if you do spend time online, and I know some of you do from time to time, some of you, you just assumed we still had Telegraph. But, you know, if you do spend time online, one of the easiest ways to deal with this is to copy whatever was written off somewhere and put it off somewhere else. Close the browser, sit over there and read what was said. Then take the time to write what you want to say. And then wait a while and go back and read it all over again before you put it in the comment section. One of the easiest ways to stop listening is to have your keyboard in your lap ready to answer just as soon as you see somebody said God is dead or some other crazy thing that they might say. Pull it off the side. Get that out of your view and go read what was said. Go investigate the sources. Then come back. And this is especially true when we're talking about teaching the Word of God. Because we need to know where someone is before we can tell them how to get out of there. Because different people need to be approached differently. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians in verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. What if we admonish the faint-hearted and encourage the unruly? You see? That's a big difference there. Helps us to see. Everyone has to be approached differently. We need to understand our listener. So we have to listen. We need to spend time listening to what they have to say. We need to put ourselves in the shoes of our hearer. You know, we look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, the golden rule. in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. We apply that in so many places. But it is especially true when we're speaking the truth to someone. We need to understand where they are. And we need to treat them the way we want them to treat us. Not the way they treated us, the way we want them to treat us. Or not the way we were treated by the last guy we talked to about this, but the way we want to be treated. So we need to learn and understand a little bit about them. In order to be a speaker of truth, we have to be a listener of others as well. And as we learn from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, for they will trample them under your feet, turn and tear you to pieces. We need to learn to let it go. We need to learn to let go. We need to be able to recognize that this discussion is going nowhere fast, and so I need to pull myself out of it. We need to be able to tell when we're spinning our wheels instead of making progress. Some subjects we'll learn that quickly with some people. You just, for example, mention the word Trump to some people and you learn real fast, I don't want to be in that one. Let me stay away. Same thing's true when we start to talk to some people about sexual immorality or marriage. And it's sad to say that. But we need to realize when we're going to be wasting our time. Or when we're going to be causing harm rather than helping also. We need to be able to listen, to give attention to the ones that we're talking to. And that is one of the reasons why discussions online are so very dangerous. Because sometimes you don't even know who you're talking to. And we have to be careful of such things because our purpose is to speak the truth and glorify God in the speaking of it. So we be careful of ourselves. We keep in mind it's God we're working for. And we give attention to those that are listening, and in doing so, we speak the truth with love. That's what Paul is talking about here. Speaking the truth with love. Considering ourselves first and foremost, understanding that we need to be right and that we could be wrong. That it's all about glorifying and teaching the Word of God. Not about making a name for me. Not about another notch on my belt. But glorifying God and teaching His Word. And giving attention to the one to whom I'm speaking, so that I can approach them in the right way to the best of my ability. Are we always going to be able to do that? No. We're not always going to catch them that way. But we have to do our part. Yes, we are to go out and preach the Word of God. We're to stand up firm for the truth of the gospel. We're to fight against error. We're to mark those who are teaching false doctrines and avoid them. We're to do so love. Considering we are weak and frail creatures as well. And it is God that we're promoting. So we speak the truth with care, with concern, with respect and honor, with love. Carefully considering that. Are you living according to the truth? We started this lesson by talking about the phrase at the end of that song. We sang this before the lesson. When you get to the end of this life, well, let's not go that far ahead. That might be more. Today, can you say all the way to my Savior is led? Jesus has led you all the way.
If not, it's time to make changes, because the only way to get to heaven is to have Jesus lead the way, following his footsteps. He's given us the example we need to follow of a suffering servant, of one who preaches the word of God with confidence, yet humility, even in the face of suffering. Are we following his example? Have you obeyed his gospel? Submitted yourself to the plan that will cleanse you from sin? Not only believing that Jesus is the Christ, but expressing that belief both verbally and, by the way, by changing from serving the world to serving him and being buried in baptism to receive the remission of your sins. Buried with Christ to rise with him in the new creature. If you've not taken those steps, you're outside the body of Christ and you cannot enter heaven. We urge you to take those steps this morning if you have not yet. If you have and you look back at your life and you realize, well, yeah, pretty much my Savior's led me, then you're in the same boat. Jesus will lead you all the way. Otherwise, you won't get there. Find the areas where you've not been letting Jesus lead you and make the corrections to put him in front, put him in charge. Confess those wrongs to God and ask him to forgive. He promised that he will. If you will pray and ask for forgiveness, turning from your sins, he'll wipe them away as if they'd never been. If what you've done is brought shame and reproach upon the church or in a public manner, please be corrected from it. Whatever your condition, if the congregation can help you, why not come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing? Very correct.